Welcome to Student Success Stories,
hosted by Lansing Community College's Academic Success Coaching Team.
We believe in working with students to help them identify and utilize their strengths.
We empower them to succeed at LCC
and accomplish their academic goals.
On Success Stories, we dive deeper
into the backgrounds and the stories of LCC students
and learn how they turn challenges to triumphs.
All right, welcome back to another episode on the Student Success Stories podcast, the podcast where we get to know current and former LCC students on a deeper level. I'm Laz Lane, and my co-host today is
Brendan Finnerty.
Today's guest is a current LCC student, the president of the Political Science Student Association, vice president of the Anthropology and Sociology Club, enjoys gaming, sewing, and cooking, and is also graduating this May with not one, not two, but three associate degrees. Today's special guest is Abby Gaskell. Welcome, Abby.
Welcome, Abby. We're going to get right into some serious topics. We know cooking was one of your interests, and so on a very serious note, we just want to start off with, what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
That's a good question. I have had escargot, and that was pretty interesting.
Mm. Where?
So I had it once on Mackinac Island, and then once again in Alaska.
Okay. Any things you remember thinking going into that experience?
I remember thinking that my dad told me it was really good, and then feeling betrayal afterwards.
Okay. We can work with that.
Dang.
I'm sure anyone who's gotten into eating or trying that has probably felt something similar about people.
He really hyped it up.
Yeah.
It sounded like it was going to be the best thing I've ever had.
It doesn't sound like something people just make a choice for on their own. So you typically need to be referred to eat that.
That's
so.
How you get kids to eat random things.
Yeah.
How old were you when you?
12.
12. Oh, yeah. Dad set you up on that one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, running right along with that same topic, why'd you choose LCC to attend and start taking classes?
So I grew up in Hastings, which was pretty small. We had a graduating class of around 160, I think, and I knew I wanted to go to a university, but I didn't know how well I would do with the shift from a really small school to like a bigger school like MSU or U of M. So I decided to start at LCC, where I would be able to have a little bit more like one-on-one time with like professors, but then also get a good college experience as well out of it.
Awesome. Sounds like a very transitional kind of period, you know, working up to the ultimate goals. Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So in with the bio or the information that you sent, you have a lot.
In a good way.
So three associate degrees. You have hobbies that you're into, things like that, part of two different clubs. How do you manage or balance everything? And on top of that, being a college student, obviously, but how do you manage so much at one time?
A lot of it is how I schedule. Like, I love to color code my planner. Like, I know where I'm going to be every minute of the day.
Super organized.
I was not like that in high school, but getting into more things in college really kind of gave me, like, the motivation I needed to start looking into my schedule and managing it well.
Yeah. Is that something you did on your own, or was there somebody who helped you through that? How'd you get to that point?
I started doing it on my own, and I was not very good at it. Like, I would just pencil things in, and then I would, like, forget about it, and I wouldn't look at my planner again. Mm. But at my work, I work in the legislature as an intern, and we have, like, a very color-coded, organized Google Calendar. And I was like, well, if I can do it here, I can do it for myself. And so I started rolling with it.
Yeah. Just needed that little bit of inspiration.
A big part of being successful in college is managing time. I tell that to students often. Balance your time right. You could be a full-time student, full-time parent, full-time everything else, and you are on top of it. And then it can be the opposite where, you know, not so much responsibility, 4 to 8 credits, whatever, and you just struggle due to most times managing or lack of managing time well. So
yeah, and that's a huge skill just, you know, going on to larger life. So huge that you were able to, you know, kind of get a handle on that. I know Laz mentioned this. You were involved in multiple student organizations during your time here, which is really cool. What would you say to encourage other students to get more involved in that since you had such a big role?
I would say find something that you're passionate about. Like, there are so many student organizations here at LCC that there is really something for everyone. And for me, it was really big to find a group of people that had similar interests to what I have. And then they're able to like build on what I already know. And we have like a lot of really good conversations.
That's awesome. Did you do your own legwork to get connected with that? Or did you have someone kind of help you get in? How'd that all get started?
Both of them were recommendations from professors that I had at the time. So Professor Giles got me interested in the Political Science Student Association as he was like restarting it up. And Professor Colley got me interested in the Anthropology Club because she knew that I was really interested in it. And at that time, I hadn't decided that I was going to do an anthropology degree. And she was like, well, just come to our clubs and like see if you like it. And well, I really did.
There you go. Put you onto an entire degree.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
That's how it happens sometimes. All right, so you have different interests, video games, sewing, that's a very interesting one, and cooking. What other hobbies are you interested in, or what's your favorite thing about any one of those that you mentioned?
I really like to play video games in my free time. Okay. Because it helps me stay connected to some of my friends. So, like, not all of my friends are readily available to come to Lansing and hang out, and I can't go and visit them at, like, their colleges and stuff. So it's really nice to, like, keep us connected, and then, like, usually there's, like, a goal that we're working towards. Like, if we're playing Minecraft, we're like, oh, we're going to get to the end, and we say it every time, and we don't. But but it's really nice to, like, kind of have that time to, like, collaborate and, like, catch up with people.
Yeah. Well, and one thing you've kind of touched on as well is it is possible to be doing a lot in terms of class, student life, and still get to do the things that you like to do. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really important thing for students to know is if you can manage things well and like you've done, create a good schedule for yourself, it still opens you up to have time for all those personal things that you like to do. So yeah, just your experience, I think, speaks a lot to that and is a really good testament to what's possible, you know, getting into everything as a student.
Yeah, and you need that balance. You can work every single day, but you need that balance. You need that downtime. You need that time for yourself, hobbies, whatever, interests. Even if you just sit in silence and enjoy the peace, like you just need that balance. So that's good. That's really good.
This was one thing I wanted to make sure to get into with you, and you touched on this earlier, your experience as a legislative intern. Can you tell us a little bit about that? So also you're planning on being a legislative attorney, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Those, at least from our standpoint, sound like high pressure environments. Can you tell us a little bit from the inside? What's the vibe like there? Is it pretty high pressure or, you know, just how does that feel?
I would say sometimes it is high pressure just because like we might get super busy, especially at like the end of the legislative season. But in the office that I work in particular, like I have a lot of really good coworkers in our office who like check in with me and like make sure I'm doing okay. And so like from that standpoint, like, yes, there is pressure, but it's also remedied with like going out to lunch and just hanging out and talking about like our lives and our cats and stuff like that, which is really nice.
I like that. Have you seen any growth in yourself over that time from those experiences?
Oh, yeah. Like I was talking about earlier, I was not a scheduled person. I was like, I'll just go when I go. But being a legislative intern, I've really like started getting more into the legislature. So like before I wanted to be a criminal prosecutor and I kind of was working more with like research and stuff in the office. And I decided that I wanted to do more of work like that. So like researching bills and finding out how they could be applicable in Michigan was something that was like really starting to call to me. So like I kind of like switched my trajectory a little bit with that. And yeah,
that's really cool.
Interesting. So you have a lot of, again, 3 associate degrees. Congratulations, by the way. That's really hard.
Yeah, round of applause.
That's especially all at once. Now, 3 associate degrees, you're moving on to eventually bachelor's, master's, and even your doctorate. Was education a big thing in your family, or what made you decide that you want to go that far, or at least what inspired you, I guess?
Oh, that's a really good question. So my parents are both first-generation college graduates, I believe. I'm pretty sure. And so they really put the importance of education to me and my siblings. So they encouraged us to do well in school, to get involved in clubs and activities, and to explore what we liked while we were in high school to figure out what we'd want to pursue later on. And so Yeah, my parents were a very big motivator in going to college and starting to look at things that I liked and making sure that it was okay if I like changed my mind or wanted to explore more than just one thing.
Okay. So a lot of support from parents. That's good. You have siblings, you said. Well, in the bio, you said that you had siblings. What about them? Is there like more pressure? If like, is there like a competition between siblings? Who's going to go the furthest? Or is it just supporting of each other regardless?
Generally, we're all very supportive of each other. Okay. We have like kind of bigger age gaps. So like my older brother's 8 years older than I am. And my older sister's 4 years older than I am. So when I was just starting high school, like Jess was just starting college. And so getting a lot of support and like them telling me what they were thinking was going wrong and like how to avoid that. And then my little sister is about 2 years younger than me. And so I've been helping her with like scholarship essays and stuff like that that she says are very important to her.
Cool.
It sounds like your family's been a huge part of the whole journey.
Oh, yeah.
Both before you ever really started, you know, kind of the heavy lifting of it. But even throughout, yeah, that sounds huge to be able to do that, but also like do it for your younger sibling. And
yeah,
you know, that's a really big thing. Very cool.
So you're not the mean, older, bullying type of sister then?
Not anymore, no.
Not anymore.
Grew out of that.
It's the past life.
Yeah. That's also what they teach you as a legislative intern.
Yeah, they teach you to not be mean to your little sister.
She's mean until she got that internship. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, that and we're not sharing a room anymore, so.
That's it right there.
Easier.
Those are key. That's it.
Those are key. Yeah.
Whose side of the room is the dirtiest? That's the one that gets bullied.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I know we've covered a good amount of what you've accomplished so far, but just looking ahead, you know, you still have plans both academically and professionally. And so you spoke to this a little bit, but just as you look ahead at what you want to do, you're getting into some pretty important work. So what kind of impact do you want to have on the world as you continue forward from LCC into education and career and all of that?
I really want to be able to help people who are maybe in like marginalized positions or who are really struggling. Like I want to be part of the process that like fixes it. And I think the way that I can do that best is through the legislative process. So really looking at doing research on bills and writing bills that I know are going to make like a meaningful, impactful difference for people.
Yeah. Has that brought just cool experiences too with getting to meet people and hear stories? Like, is there anything that's come out of that so far for you?
Yeah. Especially like at work, as I mentioned earlier, grew up in kind of a smaller community. And so at work, like we get advocacy groups from all over the state and getting to hear some of their life stories and the reasons behind what they're advocating for is like really inspiring to me. And then getting to see like how an advocacy day can lead to like a bill being drafted and researched and then going through the legislature really inspires me.
Yeah. And I think also it's really important for people to feel like they're able to be heard. And so it sounds like you've been able to be that resource for, you know, different individuals and groups of people that hopefully you're able to continue to make a difference for.
Yeah.
Well, Abby, this was fun. It's always good to get to know students on a deeper level. And we know, or at least I have confidence in you, that you will go on to do a lot of good things for, you know, not just yourself, your family, the community, everybody. So great work. Keep it up. I know you've probably heard that before, and it's a cliche saying, but keep up the good work. But thanks again for joining us today and being a guest on our show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And thanks again for listening to the Success Stories podcast. If you are interested in being a guest on our show, connect with us at success-stories@lcc.edu. And to listen to all the other shows that LCC has to offer, go to lccconnect.com.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to
Student Success Stories.
To listen to this episode
or previous episodes of Success Stories,
visit lccconnect.com. We want to connect with you
and learn about your successes.
So if you or any other LCC student wants to share their story,
connect with us at success-stories@lcc.edu. Everyone has a success story.
Let's hear yours. examining the issues and topics that affect our lives from the local level to the world stage. Listen to the programs of LCC Connect anytime at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Lansing Community College Performing Arts is proud to present Summer Stage Under the Stars, featuring a 10-minute play festival directed by Paige Dunkel and Shelley Peterson. A wonderful variety of styles and concepts for this evening of theater, including Bonded Souls by Sierra Barrix. Two humans meet in a world that neither recognizes, but soon learn they were both meant to be there all along, together. Featured at LCC's Outdoor Amphitheater, July 23rd through the 27th at 7 p.m. In the event of rain or extreme heat, performances will move into Dart Auditorium. For more information, visit lcc.edu/showinfo. All performances are free to attend.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our technical skills.
Our math. Our engineering skills.
You're going to need our help with your water. Your air. Your food.
You're going to need our organizational skills. Our problem-solving skills.
You're going to need our determination. Our honesty, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
By utilizing interactive activities, the Youth Summer Camp at LCC gives kids in grades 2 through 12 the chance to explore science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. Scholarship opportunities are available. Details can be found at lcc.edu/seriousfun.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cuts Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cuts Corner, brought to you by Eyewash.
In collaboration with Lansing Community College.
And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
I'll be honest. This isn't the easiest episode to do. The season just ended, and there's a deep mix of anger, sadness, and frustration still sitting with me. We came up short, and for someone like myself, someone who puts a lot into the things that I do, coming up short just doesn't sit well. But I'm not here to fake it. I'm here to tell the truth. This episode isn't about sugarcoating anything. It's about owning the season for everything that it was. The highs, the heartbreak, the brotherhood, the lessons. Jeff's with me today, and we're going to break it down. Not from a place of ego, but from a place of reflection. Because this team was special. And even though it didn't end quite the way we wanted it to, it left a mark that matters. Let's talk about the season that shaped us today. I want to start with a quote. Quote says, "Sometimes you do everything right and still fall short. That's not failure. That's life. And it's what you do next that defines you." I want to start by saying this. I'm still hurting. I feel like I let our team down. When you give everything, and I mean everything, and still fall short, it leaves you numb. But what hurts more is knowing how much they trusted us to lead them there. I've been blessed to have a large support circle and a coaching staff each year that pours their heart into the student athletes. We finished this season with a 44-13 record, and we were conference champions in concluding with a final national ranking of number 9 in the country. This wasn't just about baseball. It was about legacy. And when you don't finish, it feels unfinished. Jeff, from your seat as an assistant, you've seen every part of this season unfold. When you think back, what stands out to you the most?
You touched on it a little bit there, but definitely the brotherhood. The brotherhood stands out the most to me. These guys, I mean, they'd do anything for each other and for us. And it's just really, we talked about it in a few prior podcasts where, you know, those special teams, it's hard to explain that. Mm-hmm. That thing that separates them from regular teams, and I think that we really had it, you know, and we poured everything into it. And like you said, when you come up short and you're putting everything into it, it's like it just kind of leaves a pit in your stomach where, yeah, you know, what did we do wrong? What could we have done differently? And I think that's the game of baseball in a nutshell, you know, like it's. It's beautiful at times, and it's, you love it, and then you kind of get kicked in the teeth, and it hurts, and you don't know what to do next. But I think overall, I'm just super proud of the guys. There's so many accomplishments we could talk about throughout the season, and an extreme amount of growth for all the players. Really a special season, and one that I think that will always stick with me throughout my coaching career. Kind of went into... You know, I was really, really going through some emotions after that loss, and we got on the bus and just thoughts are running rampant, and it's like, man, I got to write this down. And that's really what I wrote. What I wrote down is just like, this is an incredibly special group. And, you know, you grow these bonds with these guys when you're spending countless hours with them and spending countless hours on game planning and practice planning, and you know, just like a snap of a finger, it's done.
Yeah, you get into the postseason, we got to a super regional championship game and lost, and just like you said, a snap of the fingers and it's over. And yeah, we've been fortunate to make some College World Series and experience that too in a snap of a finger, and it's over and it's challenging. And I think that's stuff that we've talked about as a coaching staff and stuff that I've learned in my coaching journey, that you try to get players to go all in and give full effort. And through that journey, you see some student athletes don't give full effort. Yeah. And a lot of times I've labeled that as because they don't want to feel the pain. It hurts worse when you give full effort into whatever it is that you're doing and it doesn't quite work out the way that you thought it was going to work out.
Oh yeah.
So it hurts a lot worse. You got one foot in, one foot out. You kind of have these barricades around you. It doesn't hurt quite as bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the way that I always kind of look at stuff like that is like, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to put everything I have into it, you know, and if you fall short, then at least, you know, you did everything that you possibly could. So it does hurt a little bit more, but it makes it even more rewarding when you do succeed. And, you know, I'm sure that we're going to succeed. It's just not at this moment.
Yeah, you know. I appreciate that mindset. I think I've taken the mindset of trying to have extreme ownership. It's easy when things don't quite go the way that you thought they were going to go to point fingers. You know, I learned a lot of that in the business world as well. And just trying to take extreme ownership. I definitely have a mindset of, yeah, you think that you gave 100%, but could you have done more? Should you have done something different? You know, that kind of stuff. That's the hard part about winning is, you know, at one point you're sitting in a chair, you're feeling really comfortable. It's the best day ever. And then the next thing you know, those chair legs break, you know, underneath you and you're on the floor again. And it's just one of those things where you're constantly trying to chase something special, and you end up looking back usually down the road and you realize that, you know, we may not have walked away with rings, but we walked away better men. Yeah. And I'd like to believe that our players have done the same, and I know our coaching staff has, and I know I have too.
Oh yeah.
I've had to kind of sit with the silence this week, you know, of being done. We lost on Saturday, and we're recording this on Wednesday, so just a few days ago. And what's kind of clear to me is, like, there's no shortcuts. You have to try to do your absolute best, and you can work really hard, and you can have the best laid plans, and you can have the most talented team around you, and you can have the biggest belief system, and you can have the most love.
Yep.
And you can have a lot of fun doing it, and it still might not work out. And that's kind of where the saying, hard work does not always equal success.
Yeah.
And so what's most important is enjoying the journey and hoping and expecting, probably more than hoping, expecting to come out of it better than you were when you went into it.
Right.
Did you see a lot of growth out of players, things that stand out to you when you think back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, top down, there's just countless cases of guys that, you know, they come in, might be a freshman, might not have really been in an environment that's super high growth like this. And, you know, it kind of scares guys at first, but the ones that really lean into it, you see just an immense amount of growth. Like, you'll have guys coming in and we might ask them to play a position that they've never played before. And at first they're a little reluctant. You know, you're going into college baseball and you're playing a position that you haven't played before. But as a coach, there's something there that we all see that could translate into that position. So we're not just throwing them into it randomly and they respond to it. And there have been guys that have played different positions that really excelled at it. And I think that, you know, just those small details of the moving parts and, you know, putting guys in the right places so that we see the most success on the field, that's part of the beauty of the game. So I think that's where I've seen a lot of growth out of guys. And then also on another note, we have our leadership classes where we're working on developing those leadership skills and working on the mental performance game. And you see a ton of growth from guys with that. I mean, like, even how you respond to failure, that's one that really sticks out to me. Is at the beginning of the season, you might not have guys that are all the way in on the responding to failure in a positive way, but towards the end of the season, they start to realize, okay, well, this isn't helping me if I'm, you know, blowing up after I get out, or I don't mm-hmm. see success every time. It's a game opportunity, not a game of failure, you know?
Yeah. How are you doing with everything? You talked about how I'm feeling, but how are you doing with everything?
I'm struggling a little bit. Honestly, it's I think every year that the season comes to an end, you know, you're saying you're buys to everybody, and one thing that I've really been thinking about is, does it ever get any easier to say goodbye to these guys when you've developed these bonds and relationships with them? And I don't know if it does. Does it ever get easier for you, or is it kind of the same?
I don't think so. I think anytime you see sadness and tears and, you know, that kind of stuff, I don't think it ever gets easier. I think you do sometimes get a little more, maybe just a little bit more callous to it.
Right.
Maybe just in the moment though, but not when it's all over. It's hard. I mean, when seasons end, it doesn't matter what sport it is. When it ends, you're so used to the routines.
Yes.
You know, for a lot of coaches, it never really ends. There is not an off switch. There's recruiting, there's, you know, a lot of things happening. But when the season ends, a lot of those routines, from practices to, you know, leadership to weight room to preparation, mission preps, you know, different things, those are all gone.
Yeah.
And you sit there like trying to figure out, you know, what do I do
now?
Yeah. You know, and my wife's been incredible with this entire journey, and you know, she knows it's, you know, it takes a couple weeks before I can really acclimate back into the home and into our home and start fixing stuff and, you know, maybe mowing the lawn a little more occasionally, you know, being a little more consistent with that. It's just one of those things. It's hard. And when you give a lot and you have it reciprocated by the players, it's just super hard. So I think that's probably the thing that I'm most proud of too, is because like this team worked incredibly hard.
Oh yeah.
They learned how to be selfless. They did not come in being completely selfless. They came in, as we all do, very selfish, you know, protecting ourselves, trying to make things better for ourselves, trying to make sure our roads are paved for our feet, you know, that kind of stuff. And we saw 18 to 21 year olds learn how to be selfless, and we saw them learn how to pull on a rope and have some joy for others' successes. And we saw them fail and we saw them respond. They had a superpower of resilience this season and they responded all the time. And we saw them down 20 runs and keep responding. You know, it's just one of those things that there's so many things to be proud of. And when you have so many things to be proud of with a very transformational group, when it's done, that's the hard part. That's where the missing and the sadness and all that comes in. So I just thought it was important that we kind of, you know, wrapped up our season, and at some point this comes out and, you know, everybody will hear it. And I really wanted to talk about, you know, that you have to reset and reload, and this program is not done. But before that, we wrap this up, I want to say something to the guys who wore the jersey this year, especially the sophomores. You gave everything. You left it all on the field. And while it didn't end with the celebration we wanted, I'll carry this team with me for the rest of my life. This season wasn't a waste. It was a reminder that chasing greatness comes with pain, with sacrifice, and with moments like this. Moments where you're forced to look in the mirror and decide who you're going to be moving forward. I know I am. I'm not done. I know you're not done, Jeff.
No.
And I know this program isn't done either. If you're listening to this and you're hurting, know this. We stack bricks in every season, even the ones that leave scars. And if you wore the uniform this year, you're part of something real, something that mattered and always will. Keep going, keep working, and keep believing. Make winning in life your habit, not your goal. Excellence isn't an outcome. It's a daily standard. Until next time, keep stacking bricks and go Stars.
Coach Cuts Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios with Dalian Lowry providing engineering and production assistance. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all forms of social media. Our program has been built and maintained with the help of many great people. If you want to be part of our mission, you can donate using the link in the show notes below. You can learn more at CoachCutter.com and more about our team at LCCStars.com. See you next time.
Connecting you with Lansing Community College, this is LCC Connect.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
K-12 Operations at Lansing Community College has been a proud collaborator of the Mason Promise Scholarship since 2016. The Mason Promise Scholarship is a community organization of volunteers that guarantees funding for 2 years of Lansing Community College education to selected Mason Public School students. These selected students are chosen by the Mason Public Schools at the end of the fifth grade and then become a Mason Promise Scholarship through an induction ceremony. Over the course of the next 6 years, these students receive mentoring and support, as well as introduction to career possibilities through the Pathway Program. For more information on the Mason Promise Scholarship at LCC, please visit lcc.edu/hope.
New
Nearly 2,000 of the state's top student athletes will be recognized for excelling academically and in school activities through the MHSAA's Scholar Athlete Award, underwritten by Farm Bureau Insurance. The applicants will be in the running for a total of 32 $2,000 college scholarships. Application materials are available exclusively online through the MHSAA website. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.
Hey there, this is Dedalian, and I want to invite you to join me for a show called Behind the Connection. It dives into what's happening behind the scenes here at LCC Connect. It also provides you early introductions to new podcasts, some of the Connect initiatives that we are putting forth, and, of course, insights into the concept of building the voices, vibes, and vision of LCC Connect. Find out more about it at our website. It's lccconnect.org.
I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
New and experienced motorcycle riders. LCC's Adult Enrichment Program offers motorcycle safety classes weekly throughout the summer for riders of all skill levels. Classes fill quickly. Find more details at lcc.edu/keeplearning.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Conversations with Kate is like a conversation with your friend, hairstylist, or therapist, where we will talk about music, life, stories, and everything in between, with interviews and guests sprinkled in. As an LCC student, it's an honor, and I love bringing a fresh perspective to the podcast menu on LCC Connect. I am your host, Kate. Let's get into this episode. All right. Today, we are going to talk about music. What does music mean to you? What has it done for you? How does it help you? Lots of different arenas in the music genre. We're going to start with some little sound bites from people that I gathered, and then we're going to go from there.
How has music affected your life? What does music do for you?
It's like an emotional thing. Like, it helps me focus. Sometimes it helps me, like, de-stress. A bunch of things.
All right, that was my daughter, Autumn. And the next is Matthew.
So, what does music mean to you? How has it affected you? How has it helped you work through things?
Music to me is an escape from life and all of its nasty and very sad moments, but it brings joy and it makes me feel out of this world.
And again, that was Matthew. Wonderful.
Music has a big impact on me because when I'm down or I'm just like not having it, I just listen to music because it like helps me get through a lot of my problems and struggles. And it just, like, really helps me escape. It really helps me just, like, get relaxed and out of my head, like, in those tough times where I'm, like, struggling with something. I just, like, pop my headphones in and I, like, listen to music. It, like, just really gets me into that mindset that, like, everything bad that's, like, been happening to me can, like, just flip a switch and turn good at some point in my life when it, like, starts to go like uphill, and music just like really helps me like get out of that mindset that like, oh, nothing's like gonna be good, like it's never gonna have a turn and everything. So music is like kind of my therapy and like helps me escape from like reality. And yeah,
that was my daughter's best friend, Macy Boyer. What a great statement about music.
Music means so much to me. It impacts your mood. It can set the tone for the day. It can pull you out of a hard place. It's been a constant for me through my whole life and an opportunity for self-expression. music has definitely been a core part of my life in every season. For me, music, like I said, it's been an outlet for stress or for creative expression. It can be kind of a guide for me if I'm feeling lost. I've got my songs that I know I can go to. It's been a way for me to experience different cultures and explore more of the world and explore language and to learn language even. Music has definitely been a core part in so many ways.
That was my good friend, Victoria, another really great perspective on music and what it means.
It is very hard for me to put into words what music is to me. Music has been a very big part of my life since I was very young. I grew up, my dad's a musician. I grew up listening to him play his guitar. And, you know, I have a lot of people in my family that are musicians, and they all play either piano or my grandpa played the clarinet in the Lawrence Welk band. I just have a lot of musical influence on both sides of my family. I loved to sing when I was younger, and I still love to sing. And I started to play piano when I was around 8 years old, and I did that for about 3 years or so. And then I was just singing for a while. And then band came around in middle school, and I played all through high school. Loved band. It was such a good experience being in the middle of such a giant sound wave. It was just so cool. And I've always just kind of known that music is what I wanted to do. And one big thing in my life is I'm a Christian. So I grew up in the church, and I grew up surrounded by very godly people that have influenced me. And I feel like even looking at it from that aspect, music has just been there for me. There was actually a story that my dad told me around a year ago, and he actually told me that when I was younger and when I was maybe 2 or 3, my pastor of my church, he took me up on stage and he took my hand and put it on every single instrument. And he did that while praying over me. And I had not known that until a couple years ago. And I have no memory of that whatsoever. But I thought that was just kind of reinforcement for the role that music had to play in my life. And music to me, and this is why it's so hard to put into words, it's not just physical music, it's on a spiritual level. So music to me is the blessing that God has put in my life and the talent that he has given me to further his kingdom. And it's just a way that I can connect with God. And there are many times where I've been just sitting, doing my thing. I'm on the computer, putting all the tracks and everything in there, doing all the arranging and stuff. And it's just, I can just feel that presence. And that's why it's very hard for me to express that, that deepness, I guess, that music has in my life. And it's always been there for me as emotional support as well. Whenever I've had, you know, bad days and everything, it's just always been there to cheer me up. And I guess it's just, It's more of my purpose. It's my essence. It's like it just resonates inside me. I can just always feel music there as a part of me. And that is what music is to me.
Wow. So cool to hear those words. That is a classmate of mine from the last couple of semesters. His name is Hunter. And last but certainly not least, we have a little soundbite from one of my longtime, decade-long friends, Norman, who I actually met through music, through DJing, and the family that we had created there back in Orlando through the music scene there.
What is music to you? What has it done for you, and how has it affected you? Well, let's see. Music for me has always been, you know, my peace of mind. I was born in the 70s and raised in Harlem. I grew up in a time and place where it seemed music was forever changing. You know, hip hop was being introduced, and I was finding that jazz was my favorite genre. I really loved, like, you know, the brass instruments and the sounds they created. But more importantly, I love how, like, the bands came together and, you know, they formed just art so stunning and pleasing to my soul. You know, it calmed my nerves and stimulated my mind at some of my most difficult moments of life. Music has always been a way for me to relate to others. It really is, as they say, you know, it's the great uniter. And growing up in one of the melting pots of the world, it truly does become apparent how much that is so. It has been integral in forming my peer group over the years. I've made so many genuine friends based on the music we listen to. It is a perfect medium to generate good conversations, and honestly has helped with everything from dealing with personal loss to celebration. I've been introduced to some amazing artists because of my love for music, and they are now some of my best friends. I've enjoyed the energy of hundreds of concerts and festivals and love of all the joy of a great band or DJ and what they can bring with their creativity. I love driving, and music has been the absolute key in that. I can put together playlists and have days of great tunes to jam to without hearing the same song twice. Though many times certain songs get that replay. Music has made me an extremely social extrovert, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
Wise, wise words from my longtime friend, Norman. I absolutely love how music can affect, connect any and everybody. And it doesn't matter what language you speak, where you are in the world. If you press play on your radio, on your laptop or your phone, and you can connect. And you can also share that with somebody else. And you heard that through all of those lovely audio clips. So big thank you to everybody. Thank you so much that contributed. I love all of you guys. There are a couple of other things that I want to share, quotes, comments rather, that I want to share from a couple of other people that I talked to about what does music mean to you. And this one is from my dad, Timothy Corey. He said, "Music has been a mainstream of my life. Writing and performing has brought me closer to people and their music. I am somewhat shy, so music did for me what I might have never done. That is, reach out, give, and receive. And I'm not done yet." Which was really cool to hear coming from my own father, who is a singer-songwriter, very, very talented, can pick up any instrument and play it. The next one is actually from my mom, Linda Hayden. "Being an analytical person, music gave me the ability to feel. It has connected me to people with the same mindset. Music has the ability to bring back memories, bring me up when I'm down, and to appreciate different genres." Pretty cool, right? You know, that just puts it out there that music can just pull at your heartstrings, which is personally one of my favorite things to do through music. The next one is from a neighbor of mine, actually. Her name is Kelly Graves, and she said, "Music has helped me through tough times. Most of the time, it can be therapeutic for almost anyone. which is absolutely 150% true. Wouldn't you say that if you're having a stressful day and you just play some music that you know, hey, like I just need to kind of get out of my own head, push that on, and boom, you're right back to a great mood. Or for instance, I love to put my AirPods in and put a playlist on and then clean my house. And before I know it, my entire house is clean, all the while I'm listening to whatever playlist. I really do, you know, big kudos out there to Spotify for their daylist option. That has gotten me through some cleaning sessions for sure. Another quote, comment, I would like to say that was from one of my classmates I love so much. Music is to me a place of comfort. No matter what I'm feeling, I know there's a song that makes me not feel alone. I love music. And that's from my classmate, Harvey Rancor. Love you. The next one that I have to share with you guys is from someone that I met through the music scene DJing-wise. He actually took some really phenomenal pictures of me playing in Tampa. And again, his name is Davey Steed. And he said, writing, producing, and performing has always been my doorway and connection to reality. Music has been my best friend and console during confusion and growth. Passion and ambition, as well as constant state of surprise and wonder. It's my lover while I'm dancing with it. How cool. And then there is me. What does music mean to me? It is literally encoded in my DNA. As I stated before, my dad is a singer-songwriter. At the current ripe old age of 44, I am discovering and developing my own instrument, my voice, which is pretty darn cool. That will be something that I might share with you. We'll see. And here I thought I had not inherited anything from my dad, but I do. And doing so with that, since I started here at LCC, has opened up a whole new arena where I had DJed before and had that connection through DJing music and sharing music with people. But actually singing music and performing the music, the connection there is a whole other level, especially when, you know, I know someone's in kind of a mood, or whether or not I've actually sang to cheer people up or make them laugh or that type of thing. So that's been a whole new experience as well. Super duper cool. Music is my passion. It's my why. It's what resonates in every single cell of my body. I can't say that enough. I think that, again, I'm just going to repeat that no matter where you are in the world, what language you speak, you can press play on a track of music and anyone, even if you put people in the room that speak 50 different languages, they are going to resonate with that as long as they like the music that you play. But that's the great thing. It is the one language that we all speak. Some of the things that I did want to also chit-chat about was science facts behind music and how, like, it affects the brain. It definitely affects our emotions and behavior, which we all know, hey, there are times where you or I want to have a good, proper, like, cry session, because we all need that at times. Or if we are in that mood and we have a cry coming and we know it, we'll go and press play on that sappy sad playlist. Again, Spotify has worked me well with their daylists on that. There again, it can also, you can press play on, like for instance, today I just posted a mix. It is Valentine's Day 2025 when I'm recording this, and I just posted a mix that I recorded a couple of years ago dedicated to Valentine's Day and all things love, you know, designed to pull at all those lovely little heartstrings for this day. And what a great representation of all the emotions of love for today. And that's exactly what it did for me. I was like, ooh, let me press play on this because I haven't listened to it in a while, and pressed play. And it did. It just was like, oh, immediately pulled at my heartstrings. It is also a source of healing. One of the things that I've gotten into recently is an artist named Lincoln Jesser, and he specifically makes house music that is tuned to healing vibration or hertz. Again, Lincoln Jesser, if you think you might want to try out hertz music for healing, please go look him up. Specifically, his new Bliss Coded album, absolute chef's kiss. It can, like I spoke before, improve your productivity. You know, I can go through a whole exciting playlist and clean my house. And of course, there are little interruptions of like me dancing and that kind of thing. And I bet you've been that way too. Who doesn't really, though, you know, when you're home alone or not home alone and dancing or cleaning rather, you know, you got to stop, especially when you hear a good part of a song, stop and like dance it out. It also affects the same pleasure centers in the brain as chocolate, sugar, and winning money, which is really, really cool. It also improves your sleep, improves your immune system, which we all need that, especially this time of year. Again, it is February 14th. So what happens when you listen to music as far as it affecting your immune system? It increases your antibody production, which is really neat. It also can lower, for those of you that are of, you know, my age, getting ready to celebrate that big 4-5 this year. I love it. Or really anybody generally, lowers cortisol. Didn't realize that when I was researching the science of music. And my last little tidbit, little factoid, music science facts is that it delivers dopamine. So again, that kind of goes back to the other fact of that it affects the same pleasure centers of sugar, chocolate, etc. You know, the easiest way to get a hit of dopamine, go turn on your favorite playlist, whatever it is, whether it is, I have friends of mine that listen to heavy metal music, not my thing, but hey, they love it. Like I said, my current favorite playlist is the Bliss Coded from Lincoln Jesser, which I love so very much. And also the mix that I put on today for lovely little Valentine's Day. It just affects you in every cell of your body. And it's a wonderful, wonderful way to talk to people. I have friends that I just kind of like share music with back and forth. And that is actually my love language. Send me music, please. Give me homework. Like, send me a bunch of music so that I can listen to it. Also, I do believe that those who show you new music are important people to have in your life. And with that being said, we're going to close out the episode. Thank you so much for listening and can't wait to get into the next episode with you. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening to this episode of Conversations with Kate. You can find more information on LCC Connect site as well as all social platforms, Facebook, Instagram, yes, TikTok as well. Big love.
This is WLNZ Lansing. You're listening to LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. To find out more about LCC Connect programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.